to worship and honor you, you come into this place. You are drawn by worship. To you and you alone we worship and we praise you. And we thank you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not ready to stop worshiping, but we're at the end. We're at the end here. Hallelujah. So go ahead. Sit down if you can, if you want to. When Erin called me yesterday, I said, I think I'm doing the service. And she said, do you want to do worship? And I says, no, just pick out God songs. Pick out God songs. Ones that honor Him. Ones that bring Him the glory. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He's so wonderful. And we speak a lot about the offerings. And I don't want to make slight of it or short of it. But I'd like to collect them so I can get into the teaching tonight. After that wonderful worship last week, where the presence of God was in here so strong and I so hunger for that presence all the time, I got a message. And Dwayne says, well, do you have one? I said, yes, I do. And so we're going to go ahead and take up the offering. And if you need an envelope, raise your hand. And thank you. Yes, I have ours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take them for next week, honey. Thank you. Okay. We're just going to give people a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Because we don't want to rush giving out our offerings. Hallelujah. Thank you. And while we're waiting for those to get done writing and preparing, I want to tell you a little something about what happened today. I was in my room and I was worshiping God and preparing for tonight, and I heard chainsaws and I heard weeds being ripped out and I heard all kinds of weird, strange noises. And I don't know, that probably was around noon or something. And around 3:30, I came out and I looked and to make sure Dwayne hadn't gotten his shower. I said, did you take your shower yet? And he said, no, not yet. I'm on my way. And I looked out the window. And we have now almost a panoramic view of the water. But let me tell you, even as leaders, we are tempted to get angry at trees that are in our way. Okay? When we first moved in, our neighbor, Jeannie, had planted a bunch of little trees, Christmas trees. Every year she planted a tree. So they were all around the side of her property. And I thought, oh God, that tree is in my way. I cannot see the water between the stairs and the tree of her property. And I said, Lord, I curse that tree in the name of Jesus and I command it to die. Well, then the Holy Spirit reminded me that she was a widow. I do not curse widows' properties. I do not curse children or homeless people. They're God's property. So I said, Lord, something has to happen here. Father God, I wish you would just cut them laurel trees down that are, well, they're bushes, but hers are trees. And you can't see the water. But every once in a while, when the wind blows, you can see some water. And I said, you know, Lord, I'd like to see some water. I never told Dwayne. I just kept it in my heart. So when I looked out there and I said, hallelujah, I can see water. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. But you know, there's one drawback. That was the windbreak. So the wind didn't get to us because it sheltered us. So now I have a beautiful view, but a lot of wind. So, hallelujah. We should all be done now. Yes, they were so big that they couldn't even take them all in one truck. You have to take a couple truckloads. So, okay, now we should all be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this privilege to come to you and to bring our tithes and offerings, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are worshipped in our tithes and offerings. We thank you that we magnify your name. And Father, we thank you for today. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
After last week's worship, and the presence of God was so strong, and I love it when His presence is so strong like that. You can't do anything. No. And when you're there, he and you're immobilized in His presence, He tickles you. He pulls stuff out of you. He puts stuff in you. He's just wonderful in how He does His work. So I said, okay. And I thought we were going to go in one direction. And I believe it was about 4 years ago, I taught on praise and worship. And nobody came. There was only like four people. Because it was during a Sunday school in the other building upstairs. And all of us were serving. So, you know, yeah, there wasn't too many. But I know this is going on the internet. And I know there's people who don't know how to praise and worship God. And so this is a wonderful opportunity after last week to give instructions. Okay? I'm just going to talk about Old Testament worship and praise and New Testament praise and worship. Okay? There are some differences, but as we go along, we'll see that where we were hindered ourselves to go into the presence of God, now we can go in anytime we want to, whenever we want to. So I'm going to I'm just going to read this that I wrote down. It took me, believe me, I'm just learning computers. And it took me 4 hours to type out three pieces of paper. When Dwayne came home last night, I says, honey, come here. You got to see this. I did this one, and I did this one, and I did this one all by myself. So then some of them printed out on the printer. And I came to one page and I thought, oh, I want to include that. And I put it on my scanner and I pressed scan and made some weird noise and my words popped up on the computer. And I said, here's a grown woman talking to this computer. I don't want you there, I want you here. And I'm going, this is pathetic. If you don't know how to do something, you're stuck. You have to wait for someone who knows how to come along and unstuck you. Okay? So Dwayne just happened to shut the door at that time, and I went, ah, help has arrived. And I asked him, I says, something happened. My computer took my paper. I want it in front of me. I don't want it on the computer. He says, Lord, did you scan it? I said, of course I did. I scanned it because we have a scanner. He says, no, Lord, that makes it go inside. I said, but I want it outside. Isn't that going to do me any good? I can't take my computer here. Okay, and after 4 hours, I did not want to write another thing. Okay. So he says, well, just press copy. I said, okay. So I did press copy. He said, press copy. So I pressed copy, and it didn't come out in black print. It came out in green print. And I went, oh, my gosh. So he told me, Laura, here, let me do it for you. So I have a black copy of the green piece of paper that I wanted black in the first place. This is part of this praising and worship. If you don't know how to praise and worship, I know we do here. I know the presence comes in this room. I know His presence is here right now. But there are people that don't know how to get in His presence. They've never been in His presence. But yet they come to church and they see others that come in His presence. And they want to come in His presence, but they don't know how. Okay? And many things can keep you out of the presence of God. And we'll go through some of these as we go along. So, sacrifice and praise is a deliberate act of faith in God's word and the outward manifestation of trust in Him, regardless of how you feel and what is going on at the moment. That is so important, because people come in and you see their faces and you know that they have hitchhikers. I call them little demon hitchhikers that are there on their shoulders saying, "You can't enter in. Who do you think you are? Look what you did today. Look what happened. How did you even come to church? You know you're so yuck, you should just stay at home. Don't even worry about it, because you're not going to get nothing out of it." I don't know about you, but those little demons used to sit on my shoulder until I found out I could knock the little critters off. Okay? But some people don't know. Praise and worship is, I call them, the devil's stomping. God will rip them things off of you in praise and worship. Yes. They flee in terror because they're of the darkness and we're of the light. That's what I thought I was going to teach on tonight, was darkness into light. But we went into worship. Same thing, because you go from darkness and you come into the light of God's word, the light of praise and worship. So doesn't matter how you feel. God didn't ask you how you feel. "Hey, you feel like going to church today, Laura?" "No, God, I don't really feel like going to church today, but I'm going to, by faith, get here. I don't feel like it, but that's too bad. There's a lot of things I don't feel like. I don't feel like doing laundry, but if I don't do it, I'll have no clothes. I don't feel like making the bed, but it'll look awful all day long because it's right there where everybody walks by. Things you do. Okay? Let's see. Hebrews 4. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight, so I hope you're ready. This is a good finger workout. And I'll try to go slow, but I got to go fast. So everything will just come into line, because God is a God of order. Okay, Hebrews 4. Okay. We're going to start at 14 and go through 16. "Seeing, therefore, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." There's a time of need, and you need to press into that grace and that mercy of God, because He's our high priest, but we are priests and kings unto Him. Okay? Praise is a decision, an act of your will, and not of your emotions. We confess the goodness of our God. That's why we're coming. And that's why so many things come against people when they just decide to come and just praise and worship. Just abandonedly open up and just say, "God, do whatever you need to do. I'm coming to you and I'm going to bring my praise to you and worship and adoration." And it's just like a T-bone steak to a hungry dog. He's there just like that. You don't have to do anything else. He knows when the heart is hungry, and He can smell them out. Because He says, our praise and our worship is a sacrifice unto the Lord, and our prayers are like sweet-smelling savor. So there's a smell and an aroma to praise and worship. Okay. And that's part of, we're going to give thanks. And as Aaron was doing the worship tonight, we gave thanks. We thanked him. And we worshiped him, praised him. So the sacrifice of praise to God. Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him, to his name. It's the fruit of our lips. When we speak, there's fruit, there's savor, there's an awesomeness that God just perks his ears up and says, oh, my kids are worshiping me. Okay. And last week, Pastor had talked about some of the things about our prayers and praise going up to the Lord. And to, let's just read this. Speaking to one another. And last week, that's what we were doing. We were speaking to one another and to God through our spirit. Not through our heads, but through our spirits. And there's sometimes when I go there, I don't want to come back. And it's so unfortunate when you're here in this building that you can't just leave and go and not come back, because our body, we need our body. Okay. So we're going to go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Okay. Ephesians 5:19. And it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's see, 22. Let's go to 20 also. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. When we're praising and we're worshiping God, there was a deferment in the spirit. As one would praise and worship God, another would come in. And it's kind of like I think they call them round robins. You'll have some here and you'll have some there. But it's all praise to God. Okay? And that's, let me see. I think I might have written that down. I was making notes on my notes. So, they didn't make it. Okay. That would be for some other time. Because I'm sure there's always more to praise and worship. What I knew 4 years ago, I know more today. Okay? So 4 years from now, I'm going to know more. Yeah. Hallelujah, if we're still here. Okay. So praise and worship. And this is another one. When Paul and Silas, praise and worship changed Paul and Silas' circumstances. Okay? They sang and prayed. Well, I think I got this backward. They prayed and sang hymns to God. They were delivered from prison and the jailer. And the jailer's family received their salvation because of praise and worship. It changed their lives and their circumstances. Once they were lost, but now they're found. Okay? And if you want to read more about that, it's Acts 16, verses 25 through 34. And it's being thankful that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful is so important. I don't know if somebody's not thankful for what they have. They'll never be thankful for it until it belongs to somebody else. And then they will be thankful that they had it. But they'll want it back. Okay. So just being thankful, thanking Him for what you have, thanking Him for the day, thanking Him for your breath. Thank you for my eyesight. Thank you for my legs. Thank you for my arms. Thank you for my body, that it all functions and works in one accord. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Remember that your tongue has the power of death and life. And Proverbs 18:21, which we won't go to right now because I want more stuff. I have more stuff to give. When we praise and worship, make sure we're doing with a heart of love and sacrifice to God and being thankful, because you're going to eat the fruit of your lips, good or bad. So make sure what you're saying is good so you can eat the good and not the bad. All right. And it's also remembering to abide in His presence, the presence of Almighty God, that He would care that somebody would take the time, because they love Him so much, to just come before Him and say, I want to praise You, Lord. I want to worship You. I want to glorify Your name. And this is a good thing. It says, first we give thanksgiving. Second, we praise Him. And third, we worship Him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We want to go to Psalms 91, one of my most favorite psalms, although it's really hard to have a favorite because they're all so good. But it's a particular good one. And it says, Psalms 91. And we're going to read all 16 verses if my voice will continue. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life I will satisfy him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Everything you could want is right there. Being under His wing, I know. Eagles, when they fly, they pull out their feathers and they put the down in their nest for the little, what do they call them? Little eaglets. Yeah, that's a cute name, eaglet. But they're protected and they're kept nice and safe and warm. There are some words in the Hebrew for praise and worship, and I hope I don't massacre the pronunciation of him, but it's called Yada, the worship with extended hands, giving of oneself in worship and adoration. And then they have Toda, to give worship by the extension of the hands in adoration, a vow or agreement with what has been done or will be done. This giving of thanks or praise as a sacrifice before a reception or manifestation, agreeing with the Word of God and faith in His Word. I thought that's pretty good. Barak, and we sang that at the last of kneeling down. To kneel or to bow, to give reverence to God as an act of adoration, implying continual conscious giving place to God. To be attuned to Him and to be in His presence. Psalms 95. And let's see. Verse 6. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. It's 95. Hallelujah. 95, verse 6. We will get this. But that was good too. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Okay. And then there's halal, to praise, to make a show, a rave about, to rave about, to glory in or to boast upon, to be clamorously foolish about your adoration of God. The word praise to Yada, speaking of His glorious attributes, working mercy, goodness, power, and love. Psalms 104. Okay, that's Psalms 104. 33 and 34. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Hallelujah. So we're going to give Him praise, and that is halal. Also, Psalms 105, verse 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Hallelujah. Just giving Him praise and worship all the time. There's not an hour of the day. Even if you're sitting in front of the TV, you may be watching a program, you can say, praise God. Hallelujah. I have cable. I can get more channels. I can get different things that bring God into my house. Nature programs. I can praise God for... Well, I won't talk about that show. I watched that nature show. But, you know, we won't go there. That was not good. It was... Somebody ate somebody else. It was a nature program. But I didn't really want to see him. Never mind. Okay. Shabak. This is another one. Shabak. A loud adoration, a shout, proclaiming unashamed with a loud voice the glory, triumph, power, mercy, and love of God. This word implies that testimony is praise. The shout unto the Lord can be understood as an act of Shabbat. and then Te Talau, to sing Halau, a song of spontaneous praise, glorifying God in song, the total involvement of oneself in worship unto God, the praise that we know God inhabits. Hallelujah. This was kind of like the praise that David did when the ark came back into his presence, and he went berserker for God and started ripping his clothes off and dancing and just going wild for God. We don't even, well, I've been there a few times, but I've not ripped my clothes off, praise God. But hallelujah, he's a good God. But his wife made fun of him. And you know what? If you're married, you don't make fun of your husband. I don't care what he does, as long as it's in God. Amen? Hallelujah. And if he wants to jump around and scream and yell and praise God, be thankful. That's be right. Grateful. Yeah. I used to hear cursing and foul stuff. Now I hear the praise of God on the man of God's lips instead of foul things. It's God things. It's wonderful. Yes. That alone can make me start praising God and thanking him for all he's done for me. Yes. Hallelujah. If I can't think of anything to praise God about, I look at my husband and I say, praise God, hallelujah. Yes. I'm so blessed. I am so blessed. Glory. Hallelujah. And then, let's see. Zamar. To sing with an instrument. A song of praise. To celebrate in praise. Commonly translated as sing, but really implies singing of praise other than the normal type of song. It is the one word usually translated as sing praises in the New King, in the King James Version. King James is a little stuffier, and New King James is a little bit more relaxed. Okay. Other ways we praise God are we praise him with our laughter. And you'll find that in, I'm not going to go to some of these. I'll tell you when I'm going to go to the scriptures, or otherwise I'll just tell them to you. Or we could be here a long time, and I don't want that. Okay. So praise him with laughter is Psalms 126:2, and it talks about the joy of restoration. And when you've been restored, you're going to have joy. Okay. And then there's another one, and this sounds really simple. Most people can just stand. Praise him by standing. And you'll find that in Psalms 134:1 and Psalms 135:2 and 3. And these are some of the ways that we can praise our God. Let me just hop over here for a minute and see if I want to use that one. I'll just give you these here. Psalms 96. And you can read on your own 1 through 13, but we're just going to read... One through four. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. See, this is a daily thing. We're to worship God and praise him daily. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, little gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. I think we may have read that before. If not, yes, maybe. That might have been the one I did the wrong verse for. Okay. Then there's some in Revelations. these are wonderful. So you can go into Revelations. I used to work for a lady who was a pastor's wife, and she was terrified of Revelations. Well, we won't say what denomination that was. But I said, I love it. I said, it tells all about our future. Don't you want to know about your future? Well, no, she didn't. Okay. And that's sometimes elderly people are very fearful. And so that's, we can encourage them not to be fearful. Okay, Revelations 8, verses 8 through 11. These are some, I love these verses. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they did not rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who sat on the throne, with lives for who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sat on the throne and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. And then Revelations 5, 11 and 14. This gets so good. I get excited just reading them. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and a thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. I like that one. When I first started coming to this church, there probably wasn't a Sunday that I wasn't on the floor. I worshiped God so hard I just went to Him. And He met me. I was so hungry for His presence when I first came. I didn't know you could worship like this. I didn't know you could just take your insides out and show them to God and He didn't care. Because He knew everything already. And it was okay. It was all right. And in His presence, He just said, Mm-hmm. I know she needs me. I need God. I need to worship Him. I can't live without Him. I so hunger for His presence. Sometimes I just get beside myself. Hallelujah. And the more you talk about Him, the better He gets. And the bigger He gets. He's big already, but when you magnify Him, I went to I didn't think I could learn much more about worship. I got books and I fed and I read and I fed and I read and I worshiped and I worshiped and I praised and I praised and I was thankful and I was grateful. And then I went to this Covenant Church in Tacoma, a Covenant Celebration Church in Tacoma. It was the old People's Church. And someone said, Laura, we need to go there. There's Darlene Check is going to be there. And she's going to teach on worship. And I liked her CD, so I said, okay, I'm going. So we went, and I learned a lot there. I learned some of the strangest things about never being late because it was disrespectful, to honor those people, that you're working with to love those people who bring you into praise and worship, who tell you about God. And then we got to one night. Well, it was the afternoon, and we did it all through the night. But one night, Darlene was teaching, and we were just sitting there listening, because she knows how to get into the presence of God. Like that. I get into the presence of God, but it was kind of, you know, a little slow. I had to feel my way around. God, where are you? I know you're there. Well, how can I want to get there faster. You know, we say, being thankful, praising, and worshiping. I wanted to skip that. I just wanted to get to worship. Just, you know, give me the slip and slide to God. But, you know, there's steps and there's progression. But I can guarantee you, the more and the more you praise and worship Him and give Him thanks, the faster and faster you can get in. Instead of walking, I always said, instead of walking up the stairs, you can press the button to the elevator and you're right there. That's how you learn. You take the steps a long time to figure out, okay, God, I don't want to have a set plan on how do I do this, okay, but I'm going to take the stairs again because I'm not sure if I can get there on the elevator. I'm not sure. So as I grew and progressed in Christ, I said, oh, glory to God, forget the elevator, just phew, let's just go there. And I'm getting there. Huh? So she taught us, and then some of us just kept on hanging around, and I guess she felt sorry for us because she remembered how it was like. Okay? And she said, you know, you guys have been here for so long, and I so appreciate your hunger for God. She says, I want you guys to sing in the choir with us tonight. So we got to sing in the choir. Whoa, really good. Okay. But the church had stipulations where you, that night, you had to have a black jacket and dark slacks. Well, I had dark slacks and a blouse, but I didn't have a jacket. I just had a sweater. And it was white. So my friend says, hey, there's a Kmart down the street. Let's go hop over there. 72nd Kmart in Tacoma. They have really nice stuff. And so we went in there and we just prayed as we were going, Lord, I need a black jacket so I can praise and worship with a choir. Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful. So we went in there, wouldn't you know, right here, for the little chunkier ladies, there was a whole rack of black jackets. One just my size. I said, I'm taking it. So I went there with my black jacket, and I was ready to praise God with all these people. Do you know how wonderful it is to hear everybody surrounding you praising God? And you hear everybody in your row all sounded like you. And then the next row, they all sounded alike. And the next row, well, tenors, the altos, the sopranos. But there was a whole line of them. No matter where you turned your head, you could hear people just like you praising God, and it was so good. And I thought, I can't believe how wonderful it is. I can't wait for heaven. I can't wait to get there and give my 2 cents worth of worship. Amen. To Almighty God. Amen. Okay? He's good. He's so good. Oh, I know. I watched this guy. Perry Stone. He has a half-hour show, so he talks really extremely fast. And if you're not careful, you miss half of what he says. He says, I'm going, what did he say? I thought he was speaking in tongues, but it was English, but it was so fast. Okay? But he has a half-hour show, and he wants to give the people as much as he can in that little bit of space. So sometimes I might have to just slow down, and then if we can just get back in there. Okay. This is part of the Old Testament worship and New Testament worship. As we will learn, Jerusalem was a place of worship. And then the Samaritan woman, she says, but we worship at this mountain. And the Lord was saying, you don't have to go there. You can worship right now. Right here. He was worship. Okay? That was one of the things. It says the presence of God was kept up in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says, Matthew, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 27. And verses 50 and 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks split. The power of God. Hallelujah. So now a way is made for us to worship God anytime we all want to. Anytime. We don't have to wait for a certain day and just worship Him. Any old time we want to. And if we're not worshiping enough, it's our own fault. Okay? So then we enter the most holy place by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 10. And at Hebrews 10, we're going to read 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of the Lamb, and by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated. Well, that's a good word. Consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our boldness washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Well, I read more, but that's okay. It's good. You can never read too much of the word. Believers are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6. I want you to know why you can worship Him. It's nothing you did. It's everything Jesus did for you. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. And what argument has the temple, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So He tells us, we're His sons and daughters. Hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe you had a deadbeat dad. Maybe you had a mom that left you. God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always there. He doesn't peel out when times get rough. He sticks in there. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And He's a good Father. You can depend on Him. Because the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I don't know how long it's forever, but it's forever. Okay? And then the revelation of Jesus Christ and what He did for you. 1 Peter. If anything else, you'll get to work your pages over. Hallelujah. First Peter 1. Seven and eight. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. I like the glory of God. I like the feel of the glory. Glory has a feel. I was seeing Aaron and I, she looked up the kabod of God, the heavy weightiness of the glory of God. That heavy weightiness. So sometimes when you're praising and worship and you just feel a heaviness, it's not the devil. It's God. And I think you know the difference. You will know the difference. Okay? But the heavy weightiness of God, who loves us so much, that sometimes he just comes and tents over us and worships with us. He says, this is so good. This is so good. Okay. And then you are a spiritual house. We're not going to go to this one because I want to shorten it to you a bit because I've got more I want to say. And it's in 1 Peter 2, and you can write this down. 1 Peter 2, 4, 5, and 9. And I'll summarize it this way. Verse 4 says, you're a living stone. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, you are a spiritual house. Verse 9 says, you're chosen, royal, holy, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of God. We were made to praise God. We were made to worship God. We were made in his image and his likeness. Oh, it's wonderful. Worshiping God was in spirit and truth. John 4. And some of these you may already know, but it's good to be refreshed. And verse 23 and 24, John 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, as I was thinking about this, you know, we have unsaved, ungenerated people come to service. All they hear is good songs because they can't enter into that praise and worship because they're not a son and daughter. That is what's so... We have a divine privilege to come into his presence. What they hear is songs, but there's more. While they're in that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's touching them himself. And so they may come under conviction. That's how come in some of our services, you'll see somebody in one area laughing and over in the other area crying, snotting all over. And then the others are just in quiet worship. It's how God touches you. How he plays. I think of it as an instrument. God knows the right notes to play on your heart. My heart instrument and my heart notes aren't the same as my husband's. We're individuals, but we're an orchestra when we all come together. Amen. Hallelujah. And the devil hates it, but that's too bad. He gave up his position, so we took it.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Also, John 7, 38. John 7, 38. He who believes in me as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Just being born again, you can praise and worship, but you need that Spirit of truth in you, the Holy Spirit, who comes along when you don't know how to worship quite like you should. Okay, like my husband says, God said, Laura, make a joyful noise. I make a joyful noise. But when he's in the Spirit, he sounds good. Okay? When you are in the Spirit, it is amazing how wonderful your voice is. And you know it's not like that when you're not in the Spirit. Believe me, I know it. Okay? So you can't take any glory for it because it was just given to you. That's what's so good. God doesn't like fatheads. He knows how to let you know that it's not you, it's his glory that's come upon you. So you can praise him like he wants to be praised, but he doesn't care. You can sound really bad. But to him, because your heart's right, it's the most beautiful music that he's ever seen and heard. Okay. Also, let's see. John 14:17. And let's just read 16 too. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So it's getting crowded inside here. You've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Hallelujah. And verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. Hallelujah. And let's turn 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's so wonderful about God. He doesn't leave us in our condition. He just brings us in. And when we're under those wings and we're protected and safe, he can work on us, and it never hurts. It might not be comfortable, but it never hurts because he's a loving God. And then also, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine in which is but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that before, but it's still good. And that what it means is, in the Greek it says, to be being filled. Not a one-time thing. It's a continual process. To be filled with the Holy Ghost is to be filled with the presence and the fullness of God. That Holy Ghost is my friend. And I was thinking, I have a friend who was such a friend. And I can't remember the rest of the song. Yes. And so your heart's his home. Hallelujah. And then we're just going to write this one down. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Always rejoice. I don't care what other circumstances are telling you. You can rejoice because it's not circumstances that we go by. It's by faith in God. And then this last one here, 1 Thessalonians. That's between Colossians and Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these sayings. I comfort myself when I praise and worship. I comfort myself when I know this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. This is the wonders of God to his children. And hopefully that is the right verses for... Oh, it's 4. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Then I'll read it in 5. You know what? I told you, it doesn't matter how much word. And sometimes when you're up here and you're preaching and you're teaching and you're telling the glory of God, you can't see very good. Okay? Because everything is glorified. Okay, so I was going to say, give me a break. All right, 5 and 16 through 19 over on chapter 5, not 4. And it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. When you come and you praise and worship and you pull out and you say, oh, I've got something else to do, you're quenching the Holy Spirit because he wants to take you in to the presence of God and he wants to change you. Okay? This is the one that got sucked up in the computer and Dwayne found out how to get it back out. And it says here, after we worship God and lift him up, he comes into our presence and ministers to the needs of his people because he is God our Father and he loves us. And Psalms, it tells us of God's goodness and the people and our relationship with God. God wants to minister to the whole person, mentally and physically and spiritually. This is an intimate relationship and fellowship with God. As we worship God with our whole being, we will draw and pull the loving presence of God with our heart. And he will touch us and those around us. He will manifest his presence, even if you're the only one in the room that's worshiping him. Because you chose to adore him and honor him with your spirit. And then this last parting thing. Through praise and worship, not everybody understands this, how the Spirit of God works in a service. I know there is a service that I grew up with a lot of fear. Everything was fear-based. You didn't do something, you got pounded for it. And I was afraid to do anything. I was afraid to even worship God. So when I first came to church, they called them half-masters. I put my hands up half-mast. And then I looked around because I wasn't sure if it was okay. When you praise and worship God, it does not matter who's around you or what they're saying. When you worship God, you can come to him freely and express your love to him, no matter what other people think. Okay? That is your free gift to God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the important part. It brings healing. I got delivered from that fear. And I don't even remember when it left. But I remember praising and worshiping God. And it was just like it just flew away. It was gone forever. And it never can come back. Okay? Through praise and worship, there is the power for inner healing. Those hurts from whenever. He heals us. There's also that power of His anointing that changes us. The power to evangelize. You're not going to evangelize like God wants you to if you're not praising and worshiping and praying. You'll never do it on your own. All it will be is you're sharing scriptures that you know. But when you start getting into praise and worship and worshiping God, your guts will come out on these people and they'll know that you love them. You can't fake love. You cannot fake love. Either you love them or you don't. And they're going to know if you're faking. Yep. I know when people are faking. I mean, they can look really good, but they're faking. And they think that they're not. But they are. And that's what the Holy Spirit shows you. They're faking it. But give them mercy and grace, because maybe they don't know how to be any other way. Okay? And the power to heal. When the manifested presence and power of God is in a place, there's healing, not only for your inner self, but for your outer self. Whether you have pain in your body. I came into the service, and I know specifically a few months ago, I came into the service. I faked it. I walked in. And I tried to walk straight, but my hip was somehow got out of place. And it was hurting, stinking bad. And I couldn't sit because it was uncomfortable. And I really couldn't stand because it was uncomfortable. So I went in the back of the room and I lifted up my hands and I just said, I am going to worship you. I'm not going to think about the pain, but I'm going to worship you because you're my God, you're my Father. And I entered into worship, deep worship. I ended up, I don't know why God does this to me. I am not a real showy type of person. But He makes me spin like a top. And I'm going, oh God, am I going to fall into the people? He's always managed. He knows, I think He just has angels draw a circle around me so I don't hurt nobody. Because I can go in a circle and I'm not going to open my eyes. I'm not going to open my eyes. I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to worship you, God. And I was on the floor. I don't know how I got there because I was worshiping Him. And Dwayne said, him and Matt just looked at me and shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, well. You know, if you're in the presence of God, you ain't going to hurt yourself. Okay? So I got up and there was a puddle of slobber all over the floor, up my cheek. Very graceful. Oh, Grace, you know, is not my name. And so I found some tissues and I cleaned the slobber off of the floor and I cleaned the slobber off of me. And I went to get up and I went, hey man, my hip doesn't hurt no more. I feel wonderful. And that's part of that thing. God just comes down. He makes you to other people if they didn't understand the power of God. They think, man, this woman's whacked. Just look at her over there making a spectacle of herself. And that isn't the point. Does anyone really want to make a spectacle of themselves? No. But you know what? When God comes in, I could care less what people think. Well, I could care less anyway, but I want to show love towards them, okay? But I've learned that's another thing God's gotten taken away, that I used to care about what people think. You know, that's a miserable existence to think about what other people think about you. You know what? Because they usually aren't thinking anything good, or they ain't even thinking about you, and you're thinking they're thinking about you. All right? But I got delivered from that too. And then there's that power over depression. When you come into a service, I'm telling you, when there is true worship going on, the devil's screaming to get out the door. You will not be depressed if you just let God praise and worship him. And then there's power over Satan. That's the best part. He got a big head, and he got thrown out. If we will stay humble and truly love God with all of our hearts, we can't keep him away, because he loves us that much. And I wouldn't want him to stay away, because I love him that much. So I hope this will help you to press in more to God, so you know some words in Hebrew now, that you can worship God with your hands raised, outlifted. You can kneel. You can bow. You can lay prostrate. Prostrate? Well, down on the floor. Okay? I've got to be careful, because sometimes I get words mixed up, and that's not good either. But for the joy that was set before you, he endured the cross. For the joy set before us, we can endure anything. So I want to stimulate your thinking about worshiping God, where you can't help yourself. You got to get away with him. He's like my holy fix. I have got to have God every day. I have got to have, or I'm not happy. And believe me, I'm not real nice to be living with. But staying in the presence of God saturates you, so you're likable and lovable and kind and not catty. Okay? Like when we play with my cat, we tell her, play nice. No claws. Play nice. When we're in God's presence, he says, I love you. No claws. Be nice. Hallelujah. So have a wonderful night. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, help me to get everything I wanted to say out in the right order, that it can be understood, applied as seed, and grow as fruit on your lips to him. Okay? Praise God.